The scripture reading this morning is Matthew 28. We read the whole chapter. Matthew chapter 28. And there we read the holy word of God. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The text for the sermon is verse 7b. The second part of verse 7. Last week we continued on till the first part of verse 7, and now then the second part, the words of our text. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. Beloved congregation, I trust you may have had this experience as well. You're traveling late at night, in your car, on a quiet country road. It's all dark, and you need the light of your car to know where you're driving. And then it happens, from the opposite side, a truck drives towards you with blinding lights. Well, you can't see the road anymore. And the only thing you see are those blinding lights. You know you have to keep to the right side of those blinding lights. Because that's where the road should be, but you don't see the road anymore. But you trust that it'll be okay. So you drive on, maybe a bit slower, but you drive on. And why do you drive on? You don't see the road anymore. Well, you know the road is there and I have to keep on driving. You can't very well stop. And when the truck is passed, then you see everything clearly again because of your own headlights. And what you do then is actually you are trusting. You're trusting that the road will be there. That's fundamental in life. It's also in daily life. You may have to visit someone. And he takes out all kinds of instruments. And he starts to poke in your body. And he cuts you open, does all kinds of things. And you trust that it'll all work out well. That's trust. It's a doctor, a surgeon. And you know, trusting is not only essential in daily life, but especially for the life of faith. Because the Lord leads His people by way of faith, not by sight. That's the mystery, that's the secret of a child of God. He lives by faith here on earth and not by sight. The Lord leads His people. You find that in Scripture. Abraham, he left Mesopotamia, boys and girls. And he did that by sight. Did he know where he was going? No. No. He had to follow the Lord. And the Lord led him until he finally came to Canaan. And then the Lord said, this is now going to be your country. Of your children. And the whole country was full of cities and people. They were all there. Abraham had nothing. But he had to believe. It was by faith. And when you learn to surrender your life unto the Lord, that from now on you live according to His word, and by what He tells you to do in His word, you don't know what your future will be, but you trust. You trust and obey, for there's no other way. That's the life of faith. We don't see heaven. We read about it. We may think about it. But we don't see heaven. Sometimes things can be difficult in life, and that to your estimation, things don't add up in your life. If things are difficult for you. Things don't make sense. What's happening to me? And yet, when the Lord lives in your heart, you will carry on by faith. In a certain sense, you're blind for the future, but you are looking up to Christ, although you cannot even see Christ. But you can feel His presence. And you can sense His guidance in your life. You can sense His power working in other people and even in your own life. That's trust. So you go forward by trust. And that's what the disciples had to do after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They receive a call to go to Galilee. They were not told you will see Christ now already. No, go to Galilee. So they had to get up, leave Jerusalem, and by faith travel all the way back to Galilee, somewhere on those hills where they had been with the Lord Jesus before. That's where they would see Him. They had to go by faith, by trust, not seeing the Lord Jesus, not sensing His nearness even. It's faith, it's trust. And that's the calling the disciples receive. Behold, He goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. That's a word of the angel. And that's what the word the disciples received. The call to go to Galilee. This was to encourage the disciples. It was to awaken faith and to commune with Christ. Well, last week we saw how the women went to the grave and they did not see the Lord Jesus there. The grave was empty. And the angel gave them the divine message that they had to go to the disciples and they had to testify that the Lord Jesus had risen from the dead. And that they had to go to Galilee and there they would see him. The women were troubled, were afraid, and at the same time, they were filled with hope, with light, with life and joy. And so they have to go. The women, they left the grave, they hasted on, and then something remarkable happens. When they were on their way, running to meet the disciples, to go to them, to pass on this message to them, then something happens. The Lord is so good and kind. He reveals himself. And then suddenly he is there. And they see him. And they recognize him. And they fall down at his feet. And they hold on to his feet. And they are so glad. He is alive. How can it be? He lives again. The Lord Jesus says to them, all hail. Now that's a standard expression. What does that mean, all hail? That means everything may be very well with you. Good health, every blessing. That's what people would say to each other. It was a greeting. But when the Lord Jesus says that, it has the full significance. The Lord Jesus never speaks an idle word just casually. No, all hail, he means it. He was going to make sure that everything would work out well for these women. He was going to bless them. He was going to lead these women through life. He was going to take them to be with him in glory. It's the first word the Lord Jesus spoke, revealed to us after his resurrection. All hail. First word the Lord Jesus spoke to a human being. These women. Actually, we can consider that to be the church. These women with the disciples, they formed the church. And later on, the Lord Jesus will even appear to the disciples. Although they receive that message, they have to go to Galilee, and initially they run to the grave, and they look what it is, and they don't see him, they wonder what is it all. They didn't immediately pack up and go. No, they were still hesitating. They would still stay there at least 8 days, probably a bit longer. And then finally they would go. They didn't immediately listen. The angels, the women says, go to Galilee. Okay, then we'll go. No, they didn't. But then you see the goodness of the Lord, that the Lord even revealed himself to his disciples before they'd even started going to Galilee. Because the Lord always gives more than you expect. He is a good master. He's a blessed master. A glorious Lord to have over your life. He gives more than he even says to give. These disciples were unworthy of receiving any grace. But when the Lord appears to them, the Lord will say to them, peace be unto you. To the women was all hail. And to the women, peace. And to the disciples, peace be unto you. Shalom. But when the Lord Jesus again says this, he means it. You disciples, you who had forsaken me, shalom, peace. And then you can draw the line further. to yourself. I don't deserve grace or anything, and neither do you. But these words, all hail, peace be unto you. That's an expression the Lord addresses his church. We actually start the worship service with that. Mercy and peace be unto you. Because that's what the Lord Jesus means. He is offering that. He's laying that before us. And you may say of yourself that I'm unworthy of receiving any grace. You flee to the Lord. You plead for mercy. Well, what does the Lord say to you? Those women, they fled to the Lord. They wanted to seek him. The disciples were all in sorrow. They longed for him. And maybe you long for him. But your estimation is not there. You think he never answers. You're wrong. This morning the Lord says to such people, all hail, peace be unto you. That's why the Lord Jesus arose from the dead to give life and salvation. Do you pay attention to him? Are you listening? Young girl, young man, is there a need for the Lord Jesus in your life? Oh, it's there. That need is there, but you may not see it. Because we are sinners. We are defiled. We, with our lives of studying and working and playing, and we cannot stand before his righteous throne. Have you ever had an impression of that? Has it ever made you meek and lowly and humble? That I need a Savior for my soul. You can't just float through life, merrily and gently flowing. No, you need Christ in your life. And there are times I fear. Also here, in our congregation. Is there a need for the Lord Jesus in your life? Do you see that need? Do you plead? Have you been made pleading for his mercy and for his love in your heart? That's what we need. And that will renew your total life. It will be far better than you can ever imagine. That's what we need. The Lord in our hearts. And then you know it. And he speaks peace. And then coming back to these women, they're on their way. They're on their way running to tell the disciples. They were obedient. And then the Lord meets them. And then the Lord repeats the same message that the angels told these women. In verse 10. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Be not afraid. You don't have to be afraid when you come to the Lord. Whatever you've done, whatever you have thought of, if you come to him and you bow your face down in humility and say, Lord, have mercy. For me, the sinner. You don't have to be afraid. Be not afraid. Because you're fleeing to the Savior. And that's what we need. Well, the Lord Jesus said to them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee. And there shall they see me. So we notice that twice these women get this message that the disciples have to go to Galilee. We find it also recorded in Mark 16, verse 7. There but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. So three times Scripture tells us that the Lord gave a special calling to the disciples to go to Galilee. Now, why is this? Why did the Lord Jesus tell his disciples to go to Galilee? It says three times. Here in Matthew 28, twice. The angels, and later on the Lord Jesus himself. Why did the disciples receive such a message? Let's try to look at that. In the first place, we may say that this word was to encourage the disciples. To encourage the disciples. They were shattered, had no hope. Their hope was gone. They didn't understand why this had to happen. Jesus had such power, such strength. Why did he allow himself to be crucified? They were devastated. Oh, they still had love. Yes, love for one another. There was a bond had grown between them. They didn't just scatter in every direction. They stayed together. And that's because of the working of God's Spirit, the initial workings of God's Spirit in the hearts of these disciples. They stayed together. They tried to comfort each other. They had love to each other. They also had love to the Lord Jesus. And that's why they were in great sorrow. That's why they were grieving. When you grieve, that means there's love. That's how these disciples were. They had love. But they had very little faith. The faith was nearly all gone. And now these women come to them to tell them that he is risen and they should go to Galilee. And there they shall meet him. They had to respond by faith. And hearing these words, there's the first glimmer of hope. They still don't really believe it. They're still very much doubting. And the message is that the Lord is calling them. Because the women said, the angels told us. And later on, the Lord Jesus himself told us. And you know what he said? He said, go tell my brethren, my brothers. You disciples, you all forsook him. You denied him. He calls you his brothers. Not my disciples. Not my runaway, faithless. I've been so good to them 3 years. I never let them down. And now they all fly away. Those my unfaithful followers. No. No reproach. My brethren, by his resurrection, the Lord Jesus declared that he was the Son of God with power, and all the children of God are his brothers, his brethren. He is the firstborn among many brethren. And so those who confess to know the Lord Jesus, they should love one another because of the fact that they are brethren under Christ. If the Lord Jesus, who can give us so many reproaches and can cast us away 1,000 times, all according to justice, but still calls his people his brothers. And that's because of love. Because he first eminently loved them, his brothers. How then should there be love to one another and care for one another and compassion for one another and care for each other? Lord Jesus is encouraging his disciples. But the Lord Jesus also is going to awaken faith. That's a second reason. The Lord Jesus is at work to awaken faith. These disciples had to go out by faith. From now on, they had to learn to live by faith and not by sight. So without seeing the Lord Jesus, they received the task to go to Galilee, and there you will see him. Lo, I've told you, said the angel. Angels don't lie. By faith, they had to go forward. They had to learn that. But they were slow learners. Just like you and me. Slow learners. And therefore, the Lord Jesus intervened. He came himself that same evening and stood in their midst. But the idea is they have to learn to live by faith. That's why they received this calling. And later on, they would indeed go to Galilee. They had to exercise faith. Because in a few weeks, they will be departing into various directions. And eventually, the disciples will end up in Egypt, in Ethiopia, in Europe, in the Middle East, even into India. That's where they will go, into Arabia. And there they will proclaim the gospel. And then they will not see the Lord Jesus either. But they have to work by faith and live by faith and not by sight. They have to learn to live by faith. And that's also the life of a child of God. Living by faith. And what is faith? Well, what is faith? It's trusting. And what is trusting? It's leaning upon His Word. Reading His Word. Doing His Word. That's faith. It's not even the first place a warm, fuzzy feeling. It's not that you feel lifted up and that there's so much love and peace flooding your soul. There may be times when that happens. But that's not really the life of faith. Faith is listening and obeying, although I feel nothing. That's the obedience of faith. Think of examples. Elijah, he receives a message in the midst of the great drought. He'll go to the brook Cherith, and then the ravens will give you food. Ravens, they don't give food. They snatch food away. But by faith, Elijah goes there. And the ravens came to him, and they dropped food down. In the morning and in the evening. But then the water of the brook dried up. And then the Lord gives another message to Elijah. You have to go to Syrophoenicia. And there's a widow, a poor widow. She will take care of you. A widow, she is nothing. Widows are in poverty. Is she going to care for me in a foreign land? Again, it's faith, not sight. And Elijah goes there. And indeed, the Lord takes care of him. It's by faith. By faith, God's children have vanquished enemies. Yes, you who struggle in prayer to do God's will, who are battling against powers that want to hurt you, and you battle by prayer and by reading the scriptures and by listening and obeying, you will vanquish those enemies. You will trample shortly Satan under your feet. You will be more than conquerors. So don't give up, but persevere with His Word and with prayer. By faith, God's children have vanquished enemies. By faith, women receive their dead back again. Faith is what Peter did. He had been catching the whole night, fishing the whole night, catch nothing. And the Lord Jesus says to him, well, Peter, cast your net out on the other side of the ship, and you will catch. Well, we've been fishing the whole night. But at thy word, I will cast out the net. And then, a huge catch of fish. It's faith. It's not sight. That's how the life of a Christian is. And there can be times, as I said, when the love may fill your heart, and then it's not so easy. Sorry, then it's not so hard to obey and to believe. Then it's easy. But those events, those experiences of God's love and mercy in your heart, they are few. And they're far between. And often in the life of faith, you will not sense him. It's like Job what says, I go forward, I see him not. When I go backward, I notice him not. But he relies on the Lord. So what should the disciples have done? They should have gone to Galilee. But they did not immediately do that. And the Lord in his goodness appears to them. He takes the weakness of his people into consideration. He never asks them something that's too difficult for them. And so the Lord encourages them. He first reveals himself to Peter. And then later on to all the disciples that same day. He appears to two of them as they're on their way to Emmaus. And 7 days after that, when Thomas is with them, the Lord will again stand in their midst. You see, the Lord Jesus comes down to the level of these disciples. Although they had received the assignment to go, yet the Lord comes close to them. He is a surprising God. He gives more than he promises. The Lord can lead into afflictions and struggles, but he can also lift his people up as with wings of an eagle. They soar up and their strength is renewed and they look down upon all their problems and struggles from a bird's eye view. And then they can take it again. And then they can handle it. And continue on. Because they feel in their hearts then that the Lord is their God. And he is faithful. He will work everything out very well. And so the Lord gives many incentives to his people to believe. Incentives. For instance, the widow in the days of Elisha had heard about the miracles done by Elisha. And when Elisha tells her to gather all her empty pots and pans from her neighbors into her house, she does that. She's one little flask of oil. And that's going to fill all those pots and pans. But she had incentives because Elisha had done other miracles. And Elijah knew how the Lord took care of him at the brook Cherith. And so he knew somehow the Lord will provide for me by a widow in that foreign country. And here the Lord Jesus is giving such an incentive to the disciples that he is appearing to them. Have you never received such encouragements? Have you never received such incentives? Have you never heard of others and seen in lives of others how the Lord has worked in their hearts? But now in your own life, have there never been any encouragements in your life? No events in which you needed the Lord and the Lord came over and he delivered you and saved you from all your troubles? You never had that? I know of some of you, you have. Have you never experienced impressions? Have you never had certain dealings of the Lord with your soul? No? Never? Is God so unfaithful? He surely has given you incentives. He has given you much already. But we don't consider it. Psalm 103, forget not one of His blessings. Maybe you are now mistrusting the Lord. Maybe you are thinking the Lord doesn't answer me and how can I ever be converted? You've heard so many good sermons. And you have to say, I'm still unconverted. How come? Is the Lord unfaithful? Has He undercut you? Or have we not bowed our knees to Him? And have we not humbled ourselves to Him? And have we maybe held on to certain conditions and demands that we lay before God, that this and this and this must happen to me? And if this and this and this does not happen to me, then I'm still unconverted. And that's thy fault. We don't say those last words. But that's what we think. But you see, it's not my agenda. It's God's agenda. It's not my path that I think I need to go. It's His path. And the old people used to say, what the one learns up front, the other learns in hindsight. The ways are different. We need to listen, to humble, and to recollect what the Lord has done in your life. Do that. Even daily blessings. Or sermons you still remember. The Lord is encouraging also you this morning to go to Galilee. And there you will see Him. And there's a third reason why the Lord wants them to go to Galilee. Because there they will commune with Him. There the Lord was going to reveal Himself to them. Not just one revelation, but He would sit there. He would eat there with them. He would prepare the meal for them. He would make them catch another miraculous catch of fish. Why? Why did that miraculous catch of fish happen there in John 21 when they were back in Galilee? Because the disciples had to be reminded of their calling. You remember how Peter was called? How was he called? By that miraculous catch of fish. And then Peter left everything, the nets and everything, and he followed the Lord Jesus. And then the Lord Jesus says, fear not, Peter. From now on, you will become a fisher of men. A fisher of men. And then later on, the Lord repeats that miracle there in John 21. So there that all happens in Galilee, there the Lord Jesus can commune with His disciples. They ate with Him. They saw Him. They touched Him. They communed with Him. In Galilee, it was safe. Not no longer in Jerusalem. Jerusalem had cast him out. And he's not going to commune with his disciples really in Jerusalem. But in Galilee, where they had been so often. Where most of his work had been done. Where many miracles had been done. Where they were out of reach from the Jerusalem Sanhedrin. There they could in peace and quietness be together And the Lord Jesus would have given them many more instructions. We only know a little part of what the Lord Jesus said. There it was good, and there was peace, there was quietness, there was rest. There they could commune together. And there were also more disciples there. At one occasion, the Lord Jesus revealed himself to 500 brothers at one occasion. Paul writes about that in 1 Corinthians 15. Where did that happen? It happened in Galilee. And I believe that's what Matthew 28 is referring to when it says there in Matthew 28 that some still doubted. Verse 17. They worshipped him, and some doubted. How can that be the disciples? The disciples had seen him once in Jerusalem, 7 days after that again. They knew he had risen. He was risen. They knew that. And when the Lord Jesus reveals himself to these disciples again in Galilee, they're not going to doubt, is it really him? They saw him already in Jerusalem eating honey and fish. They had touched him. They knew. But who were those who doubted? Not the disciples, but those 500 brothers unto whom the Lord Jesus revealed himself in one occasion. They had not seen the Lord Jesus yet. They had heard about it. They wondered, how can that be? They wondered, and he's there. And then they doubted, but then their doubts were removed. That all happened in Galilee. And Galilee, that's where the Lord Jesus wanted to reveal himself to his other disciples, whom he also had there. But Galilee, that was the land of darkness. A people who sit in darkness shall see a great light. That's Galilee of the Gentiles. Galilee that was off the grid. Galilee that was not really important. They were the backward people. And that's where the Lord wants to be. And that's why there's hope for me and you. Because the Lord wants to be with the backward people. He calls us. And you know, to have communion with the Lord Jesus, you have to be alone with him. In Galilee, they could be alone. It's as if the Lord Jesus is saying, with the bridegroom, from the Song of Solomon, 7 verse 11, come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field, into Galilee, and let us lodge there in the villages of Galilee. The Lord wants to commune with his disciples in the quietness of Galilee. This last week, was there one occasion in which you were in the quietness with the Lord Jesus? When you could block off the world and all the obligations and all the duties, and you could concentrate yourself upon him in the quietness of whatever room it is. Did you have that once this past week? And once is not a lot at all. It should be daily to be in the quietness. There you will meet him. Lo, says the angel, I have told you. Amen. Shall we close with prayer and thanksgiving? It is incumbent upon us, O Lord, to thank thee for all thy mercies, for all thine incentives, for all thy goodness, for all the sermons we could hear. We thank thee, O Lord, that thou art truly faithful. O, give us grace, Lord, that we would live by faith and not by sight. Give us grace, Lord, that we would trust and obey, for there is indeed no other way. Will thou work graciously and powerfully with thy Holy Spirit amongst us, applying thine own word to the hearts, that thy work may continue, that the fear of the Lord may be passed on from generation to generation. Forgive us our sins. Go with us this day. Bless the Sunday school and the Sunday catechism instruction. And bring us back this afternoon for Jesus' sake. Amen.